9.5 at DraftKings, Patrick. 8.5 at South Point if you're in Vegas. It is 8.5 at Caesars if you're anywhere else in the country that is available to those books. Tease this game as soon as you hear this podcast. This will not be 8.5 for very long. You want to get it down to 2.5 as quickly as possible.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Easy formula, it's Sunday night. We just got done with a field goal fest, Mike. Of course, Atlanta 22-6, they do cover the number in Minnesota. We'll get to that game coming up in just a bit. But again, wherever you find your podcast, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. It's called Sharp Money. Now, what we're doing, we're hitting you as soon as the Sunday night game ends. So you're going to wake up with this on Monday morning, and then we'll be back on Thursday to run the board properly. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Patrick, but I have one question for you. Do you miss Ravens Bills? After that game we had to watch, do you miss Ravens Bills?
I guess saying I was bored to tears by 81 combined points with two of the best quarterbacks of all time, maybe I was a little mistaken, because the J.J. McCarthy experience tonight was a little rough. You know, there's so much that happened in week two. Honestly, as I'm watching today, Mike, I'm thinking this is one of the crazier weeks we've had in years. So instead of calling out storylines, we'll do like we do. We're going to run the board. Eventually, we'll get to the injuries, the miraculous endings, and the witching hour. Okay, so let's start it off. 251, New England, Miami. So this is fascinating. Somich is a Dolphin fan. And after the first quarter, it looked like the continuation of Indianapolis, where New England scored on their first two drives, touchdowns, a field goal on their third. And then Miami came to life quickly. This number closed 1.5, 2.5 at a couple of shops with Miami laying it. It was a dramatic New England win. What's your takeaway?
This was probably the worst game I've ever seen, where a quarterback goes 26 for 32 for 315 and two touchdowns. I didn't think Tua was very good in this game. I think Tyreek Hill would agree with me. He was quite upset on a specific throw that Tua absolutely airmailed. This Miami Dolphins defense is a mess. And I think we might have to downgrade New England as well, because I was not impressed at all with what we saw from the Patriots here either. Pretty even game on the stat sheet. One turnover for the Dolphins. We had a special teams touchdown go each way with a punt return followed by a kick return, which just added to the craziness of today. I think these are two bad football teams, Patrick. I don't like either of these teams, and I think this is relevant when we talk Monday night at the end of the show as well, because we have the Raiders, who just came off a win against this New England Patriots team, and the Chargers, who face the Chiefs. We'll get to them a little bit later as well. But these are two teams where I'm not upgrading either in this game, and I may downgrade both after I rewatch tomorrow.
No, you literally had Miami with a punt return for a touchdown in the fourth, and in consecutive plays, you had New England bring it back to take the lead with a kick return for a touchdown. So while it was one of the sloppiest games of the weekend, it was one of the more dramatic. Again, overs bite back this week, 10-4 going into Monday night. It was an underfest last week. I've got the favorites 8-6 ATS. This one clears the 43.5. Let's quickly take a look. It's going to be a quick turnaround in division for the Dolphins. They're going to go to Buffalo on Thursday. The rust was not there for Buffalo. We'll get to them in Jersey against the Jets. Right now, Miami, who showed some life. If we're going to give them credit, we killed them last week for the mutinous effort, and it was mutinous in the first quarter. They showed some life for three quarters. I thought Tua was bad. I don't look at the box. They're catching 12.5 at Buffalo Thursday night.
Yeah, interesting that we're up to 12.5 here. It was 10.5 before the games kicked on Sunday. So 2-point adjustment here. Probably down for the Dolphins a little bit, up for the Bills a little bit in this case. I think the 12.5 is about right. It's Buffalo or pass for me. We'll go into this one a little bit more once we go through Buffalo, though.
It would be Buffalo or pass for me, too. Now, I think you said something very key, and that is this New England team is not very good. Mm-mm. And specifically defensively, that is a Miami. I mean, Tua was throwing dirt balls, and it's not. It's a very predictive offense for Miami right now. You know what's coming, and they were a bad tackling team. They ran the ball well in New England, and as I look right now, they're going to go home and host the Steelers. The Steelers laying 1.5. Oh, a little bounce back. I'll be all over the Steelers laying 1.5.
I mean, we'll get to the Steelers in a second, too. I think this is the line's right. This is one of those games where when you look at what the Steelers were able to do today, and then you take into account what they did against the Jets in week one, I think this is a bad football team in the Steelers, too. I'm not sure what they do well. And so this is going to be a fascinating game, Patriots and Steelers. I don't have any interest in betting this thing right now. Opened right where it closed before these games kicked off. So no movement there, side or total, heading into that Steelers and Patriots game.
Okay, we run the board 253. I said we'd get to injuries and drama. Well, here we are. 253, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. It's a finish. Cincinnati is 2-0. Miraculously, somehow, Sam Obama. 31-27 over Jacksonville. So much to unpack. Cincinnati does close 3.5. If you back Jacksonville, I'm sorry, you were on the right side. This was an over at 49-50. The big news coming out of this one, Burrow with turf toe, probably 3 months, maybe more.
Yeah, it's the levels of turf toe now becoming a storyline inside of sports. And this one is one that includes torn ligaments. It sounds like surgery. If it is surgery, that's 3 months. That's the season for Cincinnati and for Joe Burrow. We'll see what they decide to do. If it is 3 months, they're going to get a second opinion tomorrow. Will they go to the quarterback market? We've already heard Jameis Winston's name float out there as a possible replacement in Cincinnati if Burrow is out for a long term here. This makes the division pricing really interesting because you have the Bengals sitting at 2-0 leading the division. Baltimore should be about minus 5,000 inside. I'm exaggerating. It should be a very, very heavy favorite for Baltimore now after what we saw from the Steelers, after what we've seen from the Bengals when we've got this new quarterback in there. I just don't see how this isn't a division that goes to Baltimore now.
All right, so, Mike, let's think about this. Browning comes in and throws three picks. He did have two touchdown passes, but he threw three picks when he came in and still won a football game. Look, we don't talk about officials on Sharp Money. It has nothing to do with our money, frankly. But the officials were a disaster. There was a PI call on Hunter late that kind of swung this game. I feel about the Bengals and the Jaguars like I feel about the Patriots and Dolphins. I don't think they're two very good football teams.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence here. He is supposed to have taken this step forward. We've got his coach yelling at him on the sidelines to hit his receivers in the chest. He can't get Brian Thomas Jr. going, who was a huge player for them last year when Mac Jones was the quarterback. They had so many opportunities in this game, Patrick, to absolutely step on the Bengals' throat. You mentioned the three picks. Those all come in the second half. And Lawrence ends up going 24 for 42. Three touchdowns, two interceptions. I thought he was awful in this game. This was just the stereotypical Jacksonville Jaguar game where they have every chance to win and they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. Yeah, I hear the issue with the Travis Hunter PI. Doesn't really matter if Jacksonville just takes advantage of the opportunities that they were given, which they consistently could not do. I agree with you. I think these are two middling to bad teams.
Mid. Yeah, I thought Lawrence was a little better than you did. Brian Thomas Jr. will be a big topic of conversation tomorrow because that alligator arm was out and, you know, could have sealed the deal late with a drop. Cohen, Advanced Analytics, the new head coach, aggressive on fourth downs, didn't hate the call, but two very mid teams. And as I take a look at the board, Mike, let's do this. Let's talk about what we just saw because then we can bring it back. Bengals are going to be playing Minnesota, so I think it's important. So let's talk about Atlanta and Minnesota, which just closed up a couple of minutes ago. Atlanta, of course, we both were on Atlanta catching four, ends up closing three. So we got ahead of it here on Sharp Money. Atlanta was in control of this game the whole entire night, 22-6.
Yeah, I thought Atlanta just dominated this football game. And I
great dominated.
Grain of salt because of the injuries that we saw on the Minnesota side as well. Missing two offensive linemen coming into the game. They lose their center mid-game. You could tell that really affected J.J. McCarthy, how he was trying to set up protections. The center specifically helps him call protections. So once he lost him, it allowed this Atlanta pass rush to get going even more. Atlanta's pass rush was awesome, with that being said. I mean, they were harassing J.J. McCarthy the entire game. They were able to stop the run. Loved the safety duo with Watts and Bates there in Atlanta as well. Little worried that Atlanta couldn't finish a lot of those drives. The red zone efficiency was atrocious. End up kicking five field goals. Yep. Do get the one touchdown late in the game when that defense was really just worn down because of the number of opportunities that Atlanta had had. But I am a little concerned just about what Atlanta was able to do in the red zone. I thought that Pitts looked good again today. Seems like that they are figuring out how to use him inside of this offense. I don't understand why Algier consistently is running on third and fourth and short when you have Bijan Robinson. Maybe use him on third and fourth and short. But I was impressed with Atlanta, especially the pass rush. I think this defense is a lot better than what it was last year. It was my big concern with this Atlanta team coming into the season. And if we take away from today that the Bears stink, that's not saying a lot about Minnesota's win in week one. And now we have this performance in week two. Maybe Minnesota still needs to make some strides to become a above mid team, as you would put it.
Yeah, Atlanta 22-6. We saw 7 field goals in this game. Atlanta's got a new kicker. He was 5 of 5. I think you nailed it. Let's give Atlanta credit for an improved defense. Not just the pass rush. I thought the secondary looked good. And we have to knock Minnesota for the run defense. Robinson and Algier just ran for 218 yards against this vaunted Minnesota defense. Something to take note of. Let's be careful about J.J. McCarthy. He is the first 3 quarters we saw against Chicago might be a little bit more indicative. I think the kid's going to be fine. He's not ready. And here we go. We have the Bengals headed to Minnesota on Sunday. That's an early game, and the Vikings are laying 4.5. It does look like it's going to be Browning for the Bengals.
Yeah, this one is tough. And this is one of the spots where it's important to know those lines before the weekend's action started. It was Cincinnati -1.5. And now we've reopened, like you said, at 4.5. So we're seeing a 6-point adjustment here for Burrow. I think that might be a little aggressive. I do think it is fairly in line with what you'd expect. People, like, Browning was awful today. Let's not sugarcoat it. But Browning also went 4-3 as a starter for this Bengals team in 2023. He knows the system. He knows the players. He understands what the coaching staff wants to do with the football, how to get Chase involved, how to get Higgins involved. So, yes, it is absolutely awful for Bengals fans, for anyone with Burrow in fantasy, for the future prospects of this team. I don't think it makes them a dead team walking like it would with some other teams inside the NFL. And so, 6 is a pretty aggressive adjustment. Now, the reason I don't think it's too much in this case is because you went through 0. Going from 1.5 to 1.5 on the other side, that's not a very big 3 points. Now, going through 3, going through 4, that is. I want to see where this settles. If we get any buyback on the Bengals and we get this Vikings team at let's say 4, 3.5, I'm probably interested in the Vikings here. But do you really want to lay more than a field goal with McCarthy after seeing those first 2 games? That's a tough sell to me.
Yeah, what we're doing here on Sharp Money, Mike's going to give you from Saturday night what we had for the look-aheads and then how the books adjust and open them on Sunday night as we bring to you the program. One thing I'll focus on here with the Bengals and Vikings would be that 43.5. The Bengals are going to continue to score. We saw that with Browning without Burrow, and I think the Vikings will easily score against this Bengals defense, which is woeful, and Kevin O'Connell's going to want to prove something after posting 6 in prime time. Go ahead.
I didn't look to the over because I want an update on the offensive line for Minnesota. I want to know if we're going to get 2 or 3, all 3 pieces back, 2 of the pieces back, specifically the center, because that you could see the difference in Minnesota's offense with and without those offensive linemen.
Completely fair. Just an initial blush when I took a look at the board. 255, Cleveland, Baltimore. We like the points, and Baltimore was a wagon tonight. 41-17, 7 of those points for Cleveland were fluky with a tip touchdown. The big story coming out of this one, Lamar Jackson in the offense.
Yeah, look, this was a very efficient game from Baltimore. We've now seen them score 40 and 41 in back-to-back weeks. They were very opportunistic when it came to turnovers. There are 2 turnovers here, fumble and an interception, a defensive touchdown. We had a blocked punt for Baltimore. So all 3 facets of the game able to contribute to the scoreboard here for the Ravens. And that really allowed them to kind of get over the sleepy first half that they had here. It was 10-3 at the break, and I was feeling pretty good about 13.5, Patrick. And then all of a sudden we saw a 31-point explosion in the second half for the Ravens. They woke up. This is the team that we expected. The Browns had it's weird because if you look at the box score, Patrick, the Browns outgained the Ravens by 80 yards, 323 to 242. But it was the other pieces of the game, what the Ravens defense was able to do, what the special teams was able to do that really separated these 2 teams. The Ravens didn't need to push the ball because they were consistently getting short fields.
To upgrade the Ravens defense after a pitiful performance at Buffalo. But you also have to take a look. Jackson with 4 touchdown passes. They only ran the ball, the Ravens, for 45 yards and scored 41 points. That's why coming into the year, some thought this was a wagon, maybe the best roster in football. They ran the ball for 45 yards and dropped 41, but it was a more dialed-in defensive performance. One thing, Flacco, Stefanski says he's not going to bench him. Flacco was a statue, not very good. The Browns aren't going to be very good, obviously.
Yeah, Browns are a bottom feeder. We'll talk about what the numbers are looking for them ahead for them. I do want to say this about the Ravens. I have not moved my rating on them yet this year. After losing by one to the Bills and then absolutely destroying the Browns here, they're kind of at expectation for me.
Sure.
You know, I thought the defense played better against an offense that doesn't have Josh Allen leading it. I thought the offense has been good in both games. I think the special teams has been good in both games. And they're kind of what I expected. They are still sitting number one on my power rankings, but have not moved up or down 2 weeks into the season.
And your Browns, I'll call them your Browns, Samo.
Oh, thanks.
Your Browns are catching 9.5 at home. That's going to be an early game Sunday. And they're going to be hosting the Packers. And we haven't discussed the Packers. The Packers, so far through 2 weeks, as we've got two left to go on Monday night, are the best team in football. The odds and the market obviously indicates that. They've jumped up the second or third betting favorite for your Super Bowl, and it's 9.5 with the Packers laying it on the road at Cleveland.
Is it possible that we've underrated the Packers?
It is.
After what we saw Detroit do to Chicago today on the offensive side, holy man, that was a heck of a performance by the Packers taking on Detroit, considering what they can do. It is 9.5 at DraftKings, Patrick. It is 8.5 at South Point if you're in Vegas. It is 8.5 at Caesars if you're anywhere else in the country that is available to those books. Tease this game as soon as you hear this podcast. This will not be 8.5 for very long. You want to get it down to 2.5 as quickly as possible. We will find you a friend here as a second leg at some point during the show. But if you are hearing this, run to your book now. And if you can put in an open teaser leg, do that, because this game is going to go to 9.5. By the time we get to Tuesday, and you're not going to have that opportunity to tease this down to 2.5.
Got to get out in front of it. And Baltimore, a great game. Next Monday night, we'll be hosting the Lions. We'll hold off on that one until we get to the Lions. 257 here on Sharp Money, the Giants at the Cowboys. And maybe it's time to take a breath.
Ooh.
Survivor, exhale. Mike Somich, I called him drunk on Sharp Money, and then I came back around and said, I think you're right. I love the Cowboys. And he was right. The Cowboys, a 40-37 winner in overtime. We often had the conversation, why didn't more teams just go get a soccer player? Well, the Dallas Cowboys went and got a soccer player to be their kicker, and he's the greatest of all time, and I'm not saying that facetiously. Aubrey hit a 64-yarder to force this to overtime, and then megged a 40-plus-yarder to win it for the Cowboys to move to 1-1.
Yeah, the 64-yarder was good from 75, Patrick. That thing had extra room to spare. Just a phenomenal kick. Never a doubt that the Cowboys were going to win this game and we were going to survive this. This game was just drunk. There's really not any other way to put it. You had big.
Genuinely one of the craziest games I've ever seen.
Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards today, Patrick.
And he was good.
And 50 yards. He was. Look, this is the thing. I don't think he was that good today. I think that he was allowed to do what he does well, which is the Cowboys' defense's fault. The one thing you don't let Russell Wilson do is throw moon balls. Why is Wandell Robinson running wide open behind the defense? Why is Malik Nabers not double covered every time that you're allowing him going deep? It was just big play after big play for this Giants offense when everyone except the Dallas Cowboys apparently knew that was what the goal was for the New York Giants here. I thought this was an atrocious performance by the Cowboys defense. We talked about Bland getting injured on Monday.
Yep.
Maybe he's defensive player of the year because he means a lot to this defense, I guess, when you don't have Diggs out there. We'll have to keep an eye on his injury. He'll be on the report for this next week. We'll see if he's going to be back. This Cowboys offense is good. I think we learned that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to take too much away from this Giants performance, except the pass rush, again, was not what we thought it would be. That was supposed to be the part of the defense that could slow people down. This isn't an elite Cowboy offensive line, and the Giants pass rush, again, not consistently making an effect on this game.
Yeah, how bad are the Giants and Cowboys defenses? Not too bad. Giants had 506 total yards, and the Cowboys had 478. So we talked about the front four on D for the Giants. We have not seen it yet, to be fair, and a gross performance. Now, the Cowboys head to Chicago, and they're going to be laying 1.5. DraftKings is showing 1.5 unless you have something different with the Cowboys laying it on the road at Chicago.
Yeah, it's a point, point and a half everywhere. Total sitting here at 48.5 or 49, depending on where you look. This was a game that we were seeing the point and a half two in the market in some places. So we saw the Cowboys get downgraded a little bit by the market. I that's hard for me to say they should be downgraded because I'm also downgrading the Bears. So I'm surprised this number moved, but it's not through anything that's key, that the number between 1 and 2.5, not a huge move there. God, I might do it again. If we get Bland back, I might be on the Cowboys. I thought
I might be on the Cowboys too.
We're atrocious here. So I want an injury report on the Cowboys, figure out if we get some pieces of that secondary back, but I don't think the Bears defense is going to be successful stopping this Cowboys offense.
And the Giants are going to be on Sunday night catching 5.5. So the Chiefs will be laying 5.5 in Jersey at the Giants. You want to focus on the Giants here, and then we'll move on once we get to the Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah, look, you have an adult in the room from a defensive coordinator standpoint for Kansas City. You would think he is going to be able to limit what Russell Wilson's going to be able to do on the offensive side. That defensive line is going to be the key to this football game. If the defensive line can cause problems for Patrick Mahomes, the Giants can definitely stay in this game. If they don't, could be a long night for Big Blue.
Dexter Lawrence has yet to show up this year is one thing I noticed. Well, Thibodeau was pretty good in the game, but Dexter Lawrence, no go. The Giants in Dallas, honestly, just before we move on, was one of the crazier games you're ever going to see in the NFL.
So I had two of my five survivors on the Cowboys, and Matt Brown had six of his 10 survivors on the Cowboys. And we were live on Ready, Set, Bet during the end of this
game. That's theater.
The emotional roller coaster. We got an email from Bill AD saying, I was enthralled watching you two sweat this specific Survivor game. It was a wild time to be alive, Patrick, to be there and to go through the roller coaster where you get the lead with 52 seconds. We're joking. It's too much time. Russell Wilson hits a bomb with 25 seconds, and we just are basically just destroyed at that point. And then somehow we get an Aubrey field goal range. That goes through. And then four consecutive stops in a 37-37 all game in overtime. Four straight defensive stops. What's going on here?
Well, Ready, Set, Bet was rolling. Bill noticed it. And Bill knows that the VSiN experts were awesome in week two. So don't miss out on week three. Become a VSiN pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Listen, this is the best deal you're going to find. Start betting smarter today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. It's literally week two. I encourage you to do it. I've got friends of my own in Michigan making money off this, becoming a pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Let's call this one a business trip. $2.59. And good job by you. I was on Tennessee. But the Rams ended up closing 5.5, went to Tennessee, and I like the Rams, and they took care of business 33-19.
Yeah, defensive line looked great. I actually thought Cam Ward played fairly well in this game, ends up 19 for 33 for $175 and a touchdown, but made some just ridiculous throws throughout this game, was not getting much help from his offensive line. The defensive line for the Rams showed up in every way, shape, or form. But this Rams offense, man, with Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, it's pick your poison. And we talked about being on Adams props this week. He was at 56.5. He went for over 100 yards. The two of them got 22 of the 32 targets this week. They got 19 of the 27 targets in week one. Stafford's just going to feed the two of these guys. They are both going to be – it's whoever you want to take away. We're going to go to the other one. This is the Chase Burrow-Higgins trio with a defense. This Rams team, I think, is a very good bet right now. They're still at plus money to win the NFC West. We talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it again here. I think this is a very good Rams football team as long as we stay healthy. Nacua and specifically Stafford, the two concerns there. But if they're healthy, this Rams team is a division winner.
Yeah, and I would say what you said about Tennessee is true. They're going to get professional quarterback play all year. This is going to be a different team than last year. I'm not saying they're going to win football games, but they're going to be in football games. Because Ward, two games in, I would say watch out. He does look legit. The Titans are going to stay home, and they're going to welcome Indy. We'll get to Indy in a bit. Another drunk. I'm talking hammered. Like blood level 0.20 game against the Denver Broncos. But the Titans stay home and the Colts are going to be laying 3.
Yeah. Are the Colts real, Patrick?
I think they might be.
I mean, we talked about like how do you handle the Colts after week one in that Dolphins game. what they did today against what I think everyone across the board says a top five defense speaks volumes about what Shane Steichen can do with Daniel Jones, whose floor is significantly higher than Anthony Richardson, and these weapons. Tyler Warren is legit. Jonathan Taylor, absolutely legit. Top five offensive line. Alec Pierce made some plays. We saw Pittman make some plays. There are players all over the field for them. Now, they got lucky to win today. Let's be honest. One missed field goal, another missed field goal that was not missed off a penalty. But you have to upgrade the Colts, and I'm actually upgrading them more because I didn't upgrade them off the Dolphins game, which now looks a lot better after seeing them do it against real defense.
Yeah, we'll get to the Colts here in just a bit. They ran the ball well. The efficiency from Jones, interesting team. We just talked about the Rams, so let's take a look. They're headed to the Eagles next week, early game, and the Eagles are 4.5.
Man. I think
You know, the last time we saw these two, the Eagles ran through everybody, boat raced the postseason, and the Rams had a chance to win it in the snow, and Stafford played great, just to be fair.
I think I'm going to be on the Rams here.
I'm going to be on the Rams as well.
Right now you can catch 4.5 at DraftKings. That's the best number. It's 4 or 3.5 everywhere else, so I would head over to DraftKings, take the 4.5 now. This is a game that the look ahead was 4.5, 5. So we have seen money back toward the Rams already off of the look aheads on Saturday night. I want to get this before it gets down. I want it before it gets to 3, especially 4.5, much better than 4 or 3.5. So I'm gonna head over and I'm gonna get me a Rams plus 4.5 here, Patrick. And we'll talk about this Eagles team later. But I got some thoughts about that Eagles Chiefs game as well.
I will take the 4.5 with the Rams as well. Workmanlike for the Rams. The Buffalo Bills said, "Hold my beer." Letdown. What letdown? Now the Jets were heavily bet by a lot of people as that number started to dip. 261 Buffalo at the Jets. Buffalo a 30-10 winner.
Yeah, this was a dominant game. The Jets Buffalo game actually kicked off at 4.5. So it got all the way down to Buffalo minus 4.5 in some places. We saw a dominant performance here. Buffalo beginning to end. Cook runs wild. He goes for 132, 2 touchdowns. The defense that we talked about struggling against the run against the Ravens. No trouble against the runs with Justin Fields and Breece Hall. The Jets run for a total of 100 yards on 21 runs, but nothing really explosive. You saw, you know, Justin Fields had one large run for 27. Outside of that, really able to keep this team down for the most part. We saw Justin Fields get hurt. Tyrod Taylor comes in. Tyrod Taylor throws for 56 yards. Justin Fields for 27. The Buffalo defense, I thought, was a big story in this game. The offense didn't really get pushed on the Buffalo side. So who knows how many points they could have put up. They settled for a lot of field goals in this spot. Unfortunately, the under gets home. We were on the over. One of the four unders was this game here. So would have liked to see Buffalo convert a few of those field goals into touchdowns. We would have gotten over. But I was impressed. I was impressed with what Buffalo was able to do. And this Jets team, they just looked overmatched. And now that Steelers game, week one, doesn't look nearly as good after watching what happened in Pittsburgh and Seattle.
No, it does not. And Miami, we can now get to this. Miami's traveling to Buffalo. That's coming up soon. And we'll have another Sharp Money coming up on Thursday to talk about this more as we find out about injuries and see where this settles. This is my favorite game of the week because by the time we do our show on Thursday, right now I've got Buffalo laying 12.5 with the Dolphins in town on Thursday.
I'm tempted to lay it with Buffalo.
I am too.
This is a Bills team that understands how to defend Tua. They were the first team in the NFL to really figure it out. They've dominated this Miami Dolphins team. Now you have Miami, who, let's just admit it, it's a dumpster fire right now in South Florida. I have no clue what is going to happen between now and Thursday. I don't know if Tyreek Hill is going to quit on this team. I don't know if they're going to try and trade him. I don't know who their head coach is going to be. And now you have a short week where you have to go play Buffalo. Oh, man, it just feels like this. Like, how does Miami's secondary stop the Bills from throwing the football? I just don't see a world where they can slow them down. And you flip it around, and they know how to beat Tua. So how is Tua going to keep up in a race? I think it's Buffalo minus the 12.5.
How good are the Packers? Well, 263, Chicago at Detroit. Detroit puts up 52 on the Bears, 52-21. Easily cover the 6.5. Easily sails over the 46. The demise of the Lions was overstated by your boy, but let's pump the brakes. Okay, Ben Johnson's got a tall task. Caleb was not good in the game. People say he was fine in the game. I didn't think he was fine. Watched every single snap. But the big takeaway, Let's forget the Lions offense because we saw they scored 33.5 points last year. It's the same personnel. They should be putting up points. The Bears defense is horrific.
Yeah. I mean, this Detroit Lions team got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted it.
For fun.
The takeaway here, don't piss off Dan Campbell. He will run it up on you because he's going for it on 4th and 4 when it's 45-21, just to put that last touchdown on the board for the Lions. The offensive line was a lot better today. Now, was that because of the Bears' defense or was it because of the offensive line? We'll see as we go down the road. But now we have two data points here, and the first is the Chicago Bears' defense letting the Lions do anything they wanted. I mean, Gibbs got in. Montgomery got in. Amon-Ra had 3. Williams had 1. Brock Wright got in on the game, the backup tight end there. This was just an absolute dismantling of this Bears defense, and it makes the Packers, who made this Lions offense look like a JV squad in week 1, look so much better now as well. I just can't help my Packers love. They didn't even play today, and I want to upgrade them.
It was a party in Detroit, but I just don't know. The Chicago Bear defense, listen, as bad as the Bears offense is, slept on how bad this defense is, and it was a party. Detroit was doing whatever they wanted, wide open receivers, run lanes, and it became demoralizing as the game wore on for the Bears, special teams as well. Just quickly here, I misreported. So Dallas is catching 1.5. Coming up Sunday at the Bears. So the Bears are going to be laying 1.5. I'm going to be on Dallas here.
Yeah, I don't see how we're not on Dallas in this spot. Like, I don't really want to back the Bears because of just what we have seen from this Bears offense and Caleb Williams. You mentioned it, people saying he looked okay. I thought he looked terrible. Mm-hmm. I think that his legs are the one interesting thing that we're seeing him utilize a little bit more this year than last year under Ben Johnson. But I'm not afraid of DJ Moore. I'm not really afraid of Roma Dunze. He played better today. But Caleb Williams is missing receivers still. He's missing reads still. He's doing things you cannot be
not
doing
good
in a Ben Johnson offense if you want to be successful. And you combine it with a defense that just couldn't stop a nosebleed today. Hard to lay anything here. I would just go Cowboys money line, honestly, instead of taking the point and a half, and just get a little bit better price.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys as well. The game of the week. So we touched on it briefly, but Detroit feeling themselves, the Ravens stay at home, workmanlike win over the Browns, pardon me, and we've got the Ravens right now opening 6. It'd be fascinating to see where this number goes. It's on that key number of 6 and 51.5 on the total.
Yeah, this one's interesting. So the look ahead was 6.
It was.
No change here. I wrote about this game on VSiN, my weekly look aheads. The other one was Atlanta. We'll get to them here in a second. I laid 5.5 with Baltimore with the thought process that no matter what happened for Baltimore, we're not changing their grade because it's a sleepy spot. And this is an interesting spot for the Lions. If they blow the Bears out, the upgrade is probably not a huge one, and we end up right around 5.5, 6. That's where it opened back up. I lean toward the Ravens. I don't love my 5.5 bet, but I still would take the Ravens side over the Lions side here, with the Lions having to go on the road and face a much better defense than what they saw this week.
Yeah, you can go check out Mike's write-up over at VSiN.com. I'll be interested. I think there will be Detroit love in the market. If it comes off that 6 down to 5.5, I love the Ravens.
Where do you think this closes?
Honestly, I think people are going to – the Dan Campbell effect is real. I think the 51 – I think the 50-burger they just dropped on Chicago will carry momentum. That's a great question. Does it close within that 6?
I am fascinated to see what people decide to do with rankings off of those games, because I don't think you can move Baltimore much. You have them 1st or 2nd, and it's close with the Eagles either way. Detroit on most people's rankings is anywhere from 5th to 9th, somewhere in that range.
Sure.
I would say probably 5th to 7th is more likely. But the gap between Baltimore and Detroit for most people is going to be right around 3 points. And so then how much does home field advantage matter, right? Probably 2, you could say, which gets us right around 5, which means that Detroit at 6 isn't a terrible play for a lot of people. If that's the case, we should see Detroit money. It's just how far does it go? Because like I said, I have a 5.5. I like the Ravens at the 5.5 number. If it gets to 4, I'll be rebetting this, right? It's just going to be interesting to follow this specific game, especially as a standalone Monday night game when everyone gets to digest all the week's action before putting their money in on this one.
Yeah, even by the time we get here on Thursday, Sharp Money, remember Monday morning, and then we'll record on Thursday as well, running the board. I'll be surprised if it's still at six. We shall see. We'll put a pin in that. You know, I thought Seattle really let an opportunity slip to open the year against San Francisco. They had that. I thought they let an opportunity slip. And you know what? They capitalized today. A gaffe on a kickoff by Pittsburgh felt like it kind of flipped the momentum of this game. You can go watch the play. It was a disaster. But Seattle, a very good win with Pittsburgh closing four. And Seattle, an outright 31-17 winner in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that specific play is interesting to me. Because the only Pittsburgh touchdown in this game came off of a Seattle turnover. One of the two Pittsburgh field goals in this game early came off a Seattle turnover. Pittsburgh really struggled to move the football against the Seattle Seahawks team. And everyone's going to look at the end zone interception, which they're showing with Rodgers on the tip, and then the fumble return touchdown on the kickoff where the guy doesn't play the football. Yeah, those two plays happened. The Seahawks dominated this football game, Patrick. We're talking 395 to 267 in yards, 21-13 in first downs. They were able to throw the football to Jackson Smith the Jigba. We saw Kenneth Walker get going. He had 100 plus on the ground and just 13 carries. I am revigorated with this Seahawks team. I believe in them again, and they should have beaten. Well, they could have beaten San Francisco. I'm not going to say should have, but they could have beaten San Francisco. I don't know, and I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again, I don't know what Pittsburgh does well. This isn't a good offense. Aaron Rodgers was fortunate to throw for four touchdowns in week one based off of the what happened, right? A swing pass, a short pass off a turnover. It wasn't him moving this team methodically down the field. And this defense now, 2 weeks in a row, has gotten carved up by offenses that I wouldn't exactly have in the top five here in the NFL, in the New York Jets and the Seattle Seahawks. I think the Steelers might be bad, Patrick. And I think this is a very good Seattle defense.
Love the defense. And I'll say this. I've not always been a Darnold guy. He did have two picks. He had big throws when it mattered. I thought Darnold was good. But the standout was the Seattle Seahawks defense today. Totally agree with you. 267 in total for the Steelers in yardage. Maybe the elixir for that Steelers defense is the Patriot offense. And we touched on it a little bit. The Steelers are going to lay a point and a half. Listen, I know you're down on the Steelers. I think the Patriots are bad. They were overblown before the season started. The Vrabel effect was real. I will lay the point and a half with the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see where this goes because the look ahead in this spot had the Steelers as high as two in some places. We'll see where this ventures to. It's hard for me to get in on this game, though. I don't trust either of these football teams, and I don't know what we're going to get from this Pittsburgh offense on a week-in and week-out basis. But, man, I think I would be Pittsburgh or pass.
I can't. You want to bet that New England team we just saw in Miami?
No.
Miami was ready to give up after the first quarter. And New England said, all right, we'll oblige. Go ahead, Tua. I mean, Miami and New England were terrible. I'm sorry. We started with them, but they were bad.
It wasn't a good game. Those are two bad teams. They're two bad teams. How nice is it to be Buffalo? That's your division.
You think they might win it? You think they win the East? Like if you had to bet right now, you think the Bills would win the East?
I hope so. -800, Patrick.
The Saints are at Seattle coming up on Sunday, late window. You know, this will be fascinated by Thursday when we get here on Sharp Money because it's only 7.5. I say only 7.5, and the Saints have been in with opportunities to win both games late. But you see the foibles. You see the struggles from Spencer Rattler. 7.5 honestly feels a little light here.
Welcome to teaser leg number two, Patrick.
There, we found a combination. I knew we would.
head over to your book and yes, tease the Green Bay Packers before it gets to 9 and tease them with the Seattle Seahawks at 7.5 or 8 and get yourself down to 1.5 or 2 and lock those in before both of these games get to 9 and you're not able to tease either of them. Saints now have to go on the road. They leave the dome, something they didn't do in the first 2 weeks. They've got to fly across the country to Seattle, tough place to play, and take on a defense that is the best version that they have seen so far in the young season. I like the Seattle team quite a bit here. I'm going to play a lot of teasers through Seattle and through Green Bay and not bet either of those games straight, but I'm going to have a lot of teaser exposure to both those teams.
I present to you 269 Carolina at Arizona, presented by Tequila. This was also drunk. Arizona 27-22 winner. Carolina does cover. I think Carolina was down 18 with 5 to go, just so you know.
My other survivor game, Patrick. So I thought after the early game, I'm like, oh, that was a sweat. No way. The second one's a sweat. It's 27-9. I'm just kind of cruising like, oh, what could possibly go wrong? Kyler Murray could go wrong.
Yes, sir.
He throws a terrible pick after his arms hit. And all of a sudden, Bryce Young found Bryce Young of last year. And they're just walking down the field. The flags got ridiculous in this game after an onside kick that gets recovered. Just 5% last year onside kick recoveries. Arizona's player who's defending the onside kick doesn't realize the ball got kicked at him, and it just hits him, and that's what starts all this chaos. You've got a roughing the passer that was ridiculous. You've got a defensive holding way away from the play on a game that would play that would have ended the game. Somehow Arizona ends up surviving here. I feel like a broken record. These are two not good teams again, Patrick.
Let's use that. And let's go Arizona at San Francisco. Arizona's laying 1.5. I will be taking the points with the 49ers at home. And Mac Jones, who was fine today.
Yeah, he was okay. He was okay.
I don't think Arizona's very good.
I agree with you. I'm not sure Arizona's very good. I don't really trust this San Francisco team either, though. Let me double check. They're laying 1.5?
I got Arizona DraftKings laying 1.5 at San Francisco.
Yeah, welcome to teaser leg number 3. take the Niners up to 7.5. You're feeling pretty good about that one, right, Patrick?
This is another
one that you can just throw in this round robin teaser with the Packers and with the Seahawks and get it through the number. And I'm much more confident in the Niners plus 7.5 than I would be in the Niners minus. But plus 1.5, you're basically having to win the football game. Total sitting there at 43.5 seems about right. Kind of feels maybe just a touch short. And this game closed all over the place. It was basically one either way. So you could get one plus one on either side before the game started today. So not a ton of movement here, but I do like the idea of teasing San Francisco up through the 3, the 4, the 6, and the 7.
Okay, home opener for Carolina. So we just finished watching the field goal fest with Atlanta. To be fair to Atlanta, they dominated Minnesota in Minnesota. Atlanta turns around off the Sunday night. They head to Carolina. Atlanta is laying 3.5 at Carolina.
Yeah, so Mike was wrong earlier when I said the Chicago Bears could beat the Detroit Lions. Where Mike was right, this was the other game that I wrote about in that article on VSiN on Wednesday when Atlanta was 1.5 favorite.
Wow.
So, pretty good number if you went ahead and read that article and got that in. So I've got Atlanta minus 1.5. It's still Atlanta or pass for me at 3.5. I was impressed with this Atlanta team tonight. Their defense should give Carolina a world of trouble, specifically Carolina's offensive line. And Carolina's weakness on the defensive side is stopping the run. Atlanta is going to feast against that defensive line. So I like Atlanta minus the 3.5. I'm fortunate I've got the 1.5 in the account, as does anyone who has a VSiN subscription over there if you read the article last Wednesday.
271, Denver at Indy. Tequila last game. Let's go Brandy for this one. Another drunk one. If you missed it, a leverage call on a field goal attempt that was missed. A penalty, Indy gets to re-kick, a walk-off, and they win 29-28. This closes 1.5 with Denver laying it. Depending on the number, if you were on Denver, I'm sorry. That's all I could say because they were up 2. If you had 1.5, my goodness gracious. I'll ask you this way with Denver and Indy. Takeaway from each team. Takeaway from Denver first.
What? Let me say this. You missed all of the drunkenness of this game because Denver also clanked one off the upright right
they
before
did.
Indy went down and was able to do that. And it was a 60-yard field goal where it was a penalty. I had Denver minus
the leverage play you thought was a penalty?
Yes, he hit the center. You can't hit the center and try and jump over him. You put your hand on his back, you're going to get that flag for that. So that, like, what are we doing, like, trying to block a 60-yarder? Make him make the kick. Like, that's just
which wasn't close.
No, it was not close. This isn't, like, a veteran kicker either. He's never even tried one over 50. It's like, what are we doing, guys? Takeaway on Denver. Disappointing the defense, but I thought that this was a very well-schemed game from Shane Steichen outside of the fact that he settled for a 60-yarder instead of continuing to push the ball down the field closer on that last drive. Surtain left the game at one point. He came back. He should be good to go next week. I thought Bo Nix looked significantly better than he did in the first week. I thought he played very well for this Denver team. They had a couple of opportunities where they could have stretched this lead. They had that missed field goal. They had a couple other drives where they did not get points once they were up 28-23. I'm not going to move Denver off what I did last week. I downgraded them slightly on the offensive side last week. I'm going to keep them at that level, and I'm not going to downgrade the defense for this performance because I think the Colts could legitimately be good.
Yeah, I'll say this about Denver. I'm still waiting. I thought it was supposed to be the best defensive unit in football. It very much has not been through 2 weeks. Nix, I'm a little higher on Nix than you are and others. I thought it was a pretty crispy offense. The biggest takeaway from Indy in Denver is Indianapolis offense looked awesome. The efficacy, like as far as what Jones was able to do, I'm not even looking at his numbers. I guarantee he completed over 70%. Like he wasn't missing. He had a couple of drops as well. Taylor ran the ball well. We know that offensive line is good. But obviously Indy's defense, they're meh. So I don't really know what to do with Denver at this point.
Yeah, you kind of have to trust the defense is going to be good. And the pressure rate was great. I actually thought the Denver defense played pretty well against Tennessee week one after the offense kept putting them in terrible situations.
Fair.
And they were able to get out of it and hold that Tennessee team to field goals or knock them out of field goal range in one case to be able to kind of sustain that lead for them. They were fortunate to win by eight, but they were able to get the job done because of the defense in week one. A little concerned that Jonathan Taylor goes for .165. Little concerned that you had three pass plays of over 40 yards for Indianapolis as well. That shouldn't happen if you are the best defense in football. So I do think that's a little bit of an issue. But again, I think Shane Steichen calling a great game. Jonathan Taylor catches a touchdown in this one. He had a 43-yarder, but then the 7-yarder touchdown reception was schemed brilliantly. He was the only player on that side of the field and got to be able to just walk in. So it doesn't take very much talent to be able to hit an open running back in the backfield and have him walk in from 7 yards if you're schemed open. And Steichen was able to scheme a lot of the guys open here. And again, these weapons, I like Warren. I like Pierce. I like Pittman. I like Taylor. I think A.D. Mitchell's interesting.
Tremendous offense.
Downs.
Yep.
Like they're not like these elite pieces that you hear about. There's not that number 1A guy. But there's a bunch of talent on this team, and it's a top 5 offensive line. You put all that together, they're going to win some football games, Patrick.
I know Steichen was cackling during the preseason when he thought there was a decision between Jones and Richardson. He's like, I'll pretend because we drafted this dude in the first round, but I know what I can do with Jones. Watch this, Daboll. We're going to hold off on Denver and the Chargers because we've got a Monday night game to take a look at with the Chargers. And then we talked about the Colts a little bit. They're laying 3 at the Titans.
Yeah, Colts are passed for me here. I kind of like the over a little as well because I do think this Titans offense is starting to play a little bit better. I think they're figuring it out. You're not facing nearly the pass rush that you faced the last 2 weeks if you're the Titans. You have to remember they faced this Broncos team, which created 52% pressure rate, and then they had to take on the Rams defensive line. Tasks is a lot easier here against Indianapolis. They should be able to move the football. And on the other side, if Steichen's able to cut up Denver, why wouldn't he be able to put up points here on a Tennessee team? So I would lean toward the over here in this spot. And this is one where, you know, the total is sitting at 42.5 in some places right now, Patrick.
Yeah, that's the first thing that jumped out at me. 42.5, 43 seemed light.
Yep, I agree with you. I think the over here is the play because I do believe in this Colts offense. It is up a tick, so it was 42.5 painted before the games played. Now we do see 142.5, 143, the rest 43.5. So go out, find the best number you can available at your books, and get this before we get to the key of 44.
And then finally, before Monday night, here on Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Philly, Kansas City. So Philly does close one. They do cover a 2017 winner. A lot in this game what I would say, just initially, my takeaway, Kansas City's defense was awesome.
Kansas City was significantly better than Philadelphia today, and yet they lost this game 20-17. Travis Kelce's dropped interception in the red zone absolutely flipped this 100%. Game on its head. You had Mahomes who missed a wide receiver deep early. That could have been more points for Kansas City. I thought Kansas City played better early. They go for it on fourth and one from their own 33. They get stuffed. Philly can't gain 2 yards. They have to kick a long field goal. I thought that Kansas City was the more impressive football team in this game. I'm going to downgrade Philly here for the second straight week now, which is surprising because they were number one going into it. Now they're behind Baltimore and sitting at number two in my power rankings.
It's a loss. I love Kansas City today. Conversation, because it's an L, tomorrow will be, is it the demise? And I said the Chargers game was disastrous. This game, I come out feeling good about the Chiefs, and they head to the Giants, and I'll lay the 5.5 with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. It's Chiefs are passing that game. I do want to address something here, because We're hearing all these Chiefs rumors, go get Tyreek Hill, fix your wide receiver room. Worthy's going to supposed to be back here next week or the following week. You get Rashee Rice back week 7. How about we go fix the running back room, Patrick? Because Hunt and Pacheco is not doing it for me. This is like Pacheco looks like he's lost all juice.
Something's off.
I don't know if he's still hurt off the broken leg last year. He's not running the same way that he did. P.S. Moving forward, Pacheco longest run sitting at 9.5 or 10.5 every single week. Go ahead and take the under. He hasn't done that in a while. And he's also now losing the carry split in the backfield to Kareem Hunt here. He got 10. Kareem got 8. But Hunt was in there in all of the key situations. I'd be surprised if it's not Hunt as the lead back next week. They need to go get someone. They need to address this running back room, because that is severely holding their offense back.
Well, Mahomes was their leading rusher with 66. Pacheco averaged 2.2 YPC. Not going to get it done. And then we both like Philly hosting the Rams. We'll take I take the 4.5 with the Rams.
Yeah, I think we take the Rams now. There's 1 4.5 on the board, like we said. The rest is 4 or 3.5. Try and get the 4.5. If you can't get a 4, I think this is going back toward the Rams all week. I wouldn't be surprised if this game kicks at 3.
All right, sharp money. We now look ahead to tomorrow, and we'll open 277 Tampa Bay, Houston. Houston opened 2-ish. It's 2.5. I don't think we're going to see a 3. I do see a 2.5 juiced at circa to 120. 42.5 on the total.
Yeah, hopefully everyone is in on the under. We talked about that one in nauseam a week ago. 44.5 on the reopen. This was in the week 1 article. Look aheads at 46.5. So a ton of closing line value there. We'll see if it actually matters or not. But love the under here. If you're listening to this and you don't have a piece of the under, go out, look at the books at 42.5. Some of them are hanging 21.5 in the first half. I'd still like 21.5 under in the first half if you miss the 44.5. It's funny because you see these totals adjust. 22 and 23, not that often they hit in the first half, Patrick. 21 is a number that you want to stay above.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed the 44.5, you were getting 23.5 in the first half or 22.5 anyway. So you didn't lose much moving from that 44.5 down to the 42.5 if you can find a 21.5 first half. So still like that quite a bit. I also love a prop here.
Let's go.
I love Chubb under 51.5 rushing yards. This is a Houston team that's offensive line is an absolute mess. And this is a Bucs team that has the best run defense in the NFL. Week 1, the Bucs faced Atlanta. We saw what Atlanta did to Minnesota tonight. Bijan Robinson had 24 yards rushing against this team in 12 carries. Algier had 24 yards rushing against the Bucs in 10 carries. I think it is way too high on Nick Chubb, who only got 13 of the 27 carries week 1. He's in a split backfield. He's not going to get 20 carries in this game. And that offensive line is not going to be able to move around Vita Vea and the rest of this Bucs run defense. So give me Nick Chubb under 51.5 rush yards.
You said it at the beginning. I love the under Tampa Bay, Houston, 279 Chargers, Vegas. I like both games tomorrow, not going to lie. Chargers, you know what? 3.5. If you like the Chargers, you can find a 3. And if you like the Raiders, you can catch a 3.5. And I do like the Raiders, and I will take an overvalued Chargers team headed to Vegas. I'll take the 3.5.
A little head-to-head action, Patrick.
Let's go.
Give me the Chargers.
I'm not afraid of you.
It's right into the blood with this Chargers team, baby. Let's look at the week 1 games. KC, we're impressed with in week 2. New England, you think stinks. The Raiders won 20-13 at New England. This Chiefs, this Chargers team beat the Chiefs week one 27-21 and looked very good doing it. I think this is just a better Chargers team than the Raiders. I think I loved the aggressiveness we saw week one, throwing the football around the yard with Justin Herbert, who looked rejuvenated now that he's dating Madison Beer. I think this is all about the Chargers, baby. I have access to the three. I'll be laying the three. If you don't have access to a three, just hang out. It's juiced everywhere at 3.5. I think 3 becomes readily available tomorrow.
I got a prop in this one. I do think the Chargers defense is overrated. I don't think it's indicative of what we saw in Brazil. I like Geno over 240 minus 120.
Do you like the over of the game then?
If I were to bet the total, I'd go over, but I really like the Raiders catching 3.5 at home.
I love it. I love it. What should we bet on this, Patrick? First little head-to-head sharp money bet.
Come on. You know I'm single with no life. We could pick a price. I'll go into debt. This is my life, brother.
No. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to bet a round of golf.
Let's go.
Loser has to pay for the winner's round of golf.
And cocktails.
And cocktails. That's fine. If I win, you have to do it in Santa Barbara. If you win, we'll pick a golf course in like north of L.A. because I hate playing golf in L.A. We'll pick a golf course. So I'll have to drive down to you, or you have to drive down to me, and we have a round of golf on this game. Do you want? Hold on.
Are we doing 3.5?
I'll give you 3.5.
Yeah. So you got to cover 3.5.
Yeah, I'll give you 3.5.
Sucker. let's go. Chargers win by 3, and I get to golf. 3 up, 3 down before we get out of here. I think the 3 up is simple, to be honest with you.
Okay.
By the way, I do really like that Geno plus over 240 passing yards. I think it's pretty simple. 3 up. I think you go Packers, Bills, Ravens.
Okay. I'm going to go a little different because I don't think we learned anything about the Bills or Ravens. So I'm going to go Packers, I'm going to go Lions, and I'm going to go Chiefs.
You're trolling.
No, I'm serious. I have much more confidence.
If the Bills were to play the Lions neutral tomorrow, what would you make the number?
4. I'm not saying this is the top 3 teams in the NFL. Saying these are the 3 teams that I think I'm mentally upgraded.
100%. I totally understand.
And it's funny because the Chiefs lost today. But you said it very well. I have so much more confidence.
Yep. No, that's fair.
Watching them play today than I did week one. And like, did you really learn anything about the Bills or the Ravens?
No, I did about the Bills. Emotional spot last Sunday. I know sometimes it's hard to quantify, but they just absolutely waxed the Jets today.
Well, I guess you.
But I like your take. But I like the way you framed it.
And you didn't like last Sunday night's football game. You would have preferred to see
toothpicks Atlanta, in my eyes to watch that thing.
You would have preferred to see Atlanta Minnesota than a 41-40 classic between two of the best teams.
Honestly, I'm a sicko. I'm a masochist. I probably would. Oh, I've seen Jackson and Allen. Get me the hell out of here. My 3 down. I'm just going to continue to downgrade the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears. And maybe a team that most wouldn't put in there, the Bengals.
This is the hard part. The injury would make it the Bengals is an easy choice.
No, without the injury. The Bengals have been – the Bengals offensively in week one with Burrow were horrific.
Okay.
This is vibes.
This is vibes. I feel bad. Can we put an honorable mention for up for the Colts too? We should give them a little bit of credit here.
Fair.
They had a very good week. Good week on you, Indianapolis. Number one mascot in football, Blue. Phenomenal interception. interception celebration if you didn't see it.
I did see it, yes.
Go check out Blue on X there. At Blue, I believe it is. It's like fun stuff there. Fun stuff there if you want to check it out. 3 down for me. Look, it's got to be the Vikings. It's got to be the Steelers. And it's the Dolphins. Those would be the 3 for me. The Vikings.
It's hard to pass on the Dolphins.
It is. I mean, they're just so bad.
Do me a favor. If you can hear our voices, go look at Tua's box, then go watch the game and understand sometimes why box scores don't tell the whole story. Fair?
Very, very, very different when you look at the game and you watch them and you watch Tyreek Hill's expression after some of these passes.
I think he pulled himself out. I think he pulled himself out after one miss where he said, I'm out. I'm out.
I'm done. Yep. I'm done. and that's why this short week in Miami is going to be fascinating getting into Thursday night.
All right, quickly, we're both on the under Tampa and Houston. Mike likes the 3 with the Chargers. I'll take the 3.5 with Vegas. Your prop in Tampa Bay Houston was
Nick Chubb under 51.5 rush yards,
and mine is Geno 240 plus passing. Anything else, Samo?
No, that's a beautiful show, Patrick. I'm proud of you.
Perfect. Nice pace, brother. All right, Sharp Money, wherever you find your podcasts, he's Mike Samich. Of course, SamoBomb18 on Twitter. We'll see you on Thursday.